Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Today's SMB Community Podcast is brought to you by Huntress Managed Security. Cybersecurity is more than software. It's about the expertise needed to effectively fight today's evolving threat landscape. Huntress Managed Security is custom-built to provide human expertise and save your clients from cyber threats. Huntress's suite of fully managed cybersecurity solutions is powered by a 24/7 human-led SOC dedicated to around-the-clock monitoring, expert investigation, and rapid response. While you focus on growing your business, we provide first response to hackers. Huntress has the number one rated EDR for SMBs on G2 and a partner support satisfaction score average of 99%. To start a trial today, visit huntress.com/Carl.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next edition of the SMB Community Podcast. This is the post-eclipse edition. This is Amy Babinchek and with James Kernan. Did you get a chance to see the eclipse, James?
You know what, Amy, it was pretty uneventful for me. It is kind of a cool spectacle, but I guess I watched a little bit on the news, had the news going on the TV in the background just to make sure. I figured if the Earth was going to, you know, stop or something bad was going to happen, it would happen in another time zone and I'd hear about it earlier. So anyway,
we had a 98.8% where I'm at, which is close but not complete. And it sounds like, you know, that small of a percentage off that wouldn't be a big deal, but actually it is, because you don't get that total darkness moment.
Yeah.
And we got a, you know, sort of a evening sunset kind of moment. So it was really cool, and we were out there watching it and feeling it. Oh, it's tell people, you know, even if it's cloudy, don't worry about it, because it's more of a feeling than something to actually look at. It's kind of eerie, like everything gets quiet. Birds go quiet for a minute because they're like, hey, it's dark. it's kind of cool. So I'm glad to have experienced that.
Yeah. Well, and I did watch a little bit on TV, so that was pretty cool in the direct path. So it was interesting to see the media. I remember one station actually said, hey, they told the reporters to stop talking because they wanted to hear all the excitement in the crowd when it finally hit complete darkness. So there was people were cheering and screaming, and, you know, but then it was like that for just 2 minutes and then it was over.
So, right.
Like the Kentucky Derby, I guess.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of a run-up. It is a lot like the Derby, actually. Yeah, there's like a two-hour run-up as it's getting to there, and then it's 2 to 4 minutes, depending where you're at, of the actual eclipse part, and then it, you know, begins to, the moon moves out of the way again.
Right.
So what you got going on, James? What do you... You have some trips coming up?
Actually, this month is good for me. I'm no traveling for me, but next month I'll be at SMB Tech Fest, their Q2 event in Irvine, California, with Dave Seibert and team. Be there for that event. And then I'm speaking at another Mastermind live event down in Florida in June. So got a couple travels coming up and then some programs I'll be working on this month. How about you? Any travel?
Nice. Nothing for this month. Some stuff coming up later in the year. Mm-hmm. Getting a bunch of speaker request things, and everybody's busy organizing their events right now. But nothing on the books yet. So, which is actually good, because spring has arrived and it's time for me to get out into the yard and get my garden going. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
So we've got some interesting things in the news today. We want to jump right into our MSP question of the week, because it's a pretty cool one. Why don't you tell us what it is?
Yeah, I think this came from our last podcast that we shared. We talked about, you know, AI and that Copilot, the Microsoft Copilot had announced pricing, and we kind of talked about that from the reseller's perspective of the cost and so forth. The question that came in, I think, as a result was, can you resell Copilot as a service to your customers, like AI as a service? And do you think there's an opportunity there for MSPs? So I thought that was a great question, interesting, but what are your thoughts on that?
You know, my thought is anytime you're going to try to make money by simply reselling a product, you're probably not going to make much money.
Yeah.
You know, the money to be made is in, you know, wrapping a service around that, and there's a lot of things that you could be doing to prepare them for AI. And one of the things is to try to make them make smart decisions on which AI to use, because they're not all created equal.
Yep, good point.
They're not all, you know, they don't have all good ethical practices. They don't all have good data privacy practices. So helping them make good decisions on that is important. And, you know, but then building your services around it, right? Getting their data ready, getting their permissions ready, teaching them how to prompt, or maybe selling them some courses that can help them teach them how to do those prompts.
Yeah.
So there's lots of opportunity here, but the opportunity is less so in resell. That I don't recall off the top of my head what the percentage is that you're going to make by simply reselling Copilot, but it's extremely low.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's going to get rich on reselling licenses for Microsoft. I think everybody knows that, but you bring up a great point. I love, you know, the more I think about this question, it's intriguing to me because my mind wasn't going there in the beginning. But now it is. There's a huge consulting and training opportunity around AI. And even just inside the Microsoft stack, you know, like always, you know, we need to kind of master it ourselves, meaning like use it internally, figure it out, you know, what's the right, you know, tools to use, and then how to apply those, and then almost create, you know, a monthly service where you're conducting trainings, you're managing their data. I'm trying to think of so it's an easier training and consulting opportunity. But I'm trying to think of how to run it, you know, in a recurring standpoint. So so it is like a subscription where you bill every month, you know, not just for the consumption or the Copilot, but or the tools, but more or less for the consulting side. You know, what else can you do there on a monthly basis of value?
You know, but I wouldn't discard the training, though. I think the training is a long time opportunity.
Yeah,
I don't think
true.
This is a one and done. Because we're talking about developing a whole new skill set in their employees, and this skill set of how to use these AI tools to increase their productivity, to be their co-pilot person, to be their co-worker, really. That's a skill that people have to learn. And so they're not going to learn it all in one day or sitting in one class. You know, bringing them those continuous learnings on how to do the prompts and how to use those tools, that's where you can make a regular you know, recurring income off of that.
Yeah, and that's where the big time consulting dollars are. It reminds me of, you know, the old term, you know, BPO, business process optimization. You know, my firm years ago, before I sold it, our tech firm out of San Diego, we were a document management company. So we, a big Xerox partner, but we had some, you know, EMC, some of the other document management programs. And it wasn't reselling that software that was big dollars. It was all the consulting around it. And you have to really understand your customers' processes and then how, you know, and then using that software around those processes, and you're basically redefining their business processes with the intentions of optimizing and making them better.
Yeah, and that's exactly what AI is going to be. It is redefining business processes, and this is going to be changing and growing for the next several years, you know, before the opportunity is now, a few years from now, and it may take an employee turnover situation. New employees are going to come in with more AI skills than the existing employees. So getting those existing employees up on that, that's a long-term opportunity. So I would try to package it that way.
So virtual high fives for the question of the week. I love that one. That was great. Funny feeling, Amy. We're going to be talking about this one week over week from here on out, because it is such a big opportunity. So,
you know, occasionally a theme appears, and but this yeah. this is a good one. It's a very, very important one too. So, hey, we've got some stuff in the news that we thought was worthy of talking about. And I'm going to add another one to our list, and we'll start with that one. I'll just mention it. Microsoft was commanded by the EU to unbundle Teams from the Office suite. The EU felt that having Teams bundled in was unfair competition to other meeting and chatting services. And so Microsoft agreed to unbundle it. And that happened a few months ago. And then April 1st, and it wasn't a joke, Microsoft has unbundled Teams from the Office suite worldwide now. So next time you go to make a purchase of Microsoft 365, you're going to see, you know, business premium and business premium without Teams as your options. And you'll see that through the whole thing. So in the US, we can buy it bundled or not bundled. Bit of a riff in the universe, I think. Yep. So something to keep an eye out for and make those decisions. I think it's going to save, if you do the unbundled, if you buy Office without Teams, this is the Microsoft 365 suite I'm talking about. If you buy that without Teams, I think you're going to save like $2.25 or something. It's not a huge amount. It might even be less than that. I think that's the number actually, $2.25. Not a huge savings. I guess it's, you know, whether you'll make that decision client by client based on whether there may be previously invested in Teams or if it might be inconvenient for them not to have access to it when they do need it, even if it's not their primary one. Another Microsoft thing, there's about 10 features that are being removed from Windows operating system. I saw this around in the news, and I read it, and I didn't think it was going to be a big impact item for businesses, but it's always something to be aware of, you know, for the techies out there.
Yep. I think it was that PC World article that I read. Things like WordPad are no longer part of Windows. Cortana, you know, I never use Cortana anyway. VBScript, that was interesting. Those are some of the highlights that stuck out to me.
Yeah, Cortana grew up into Copilot, and WordPad, I think, was never used much. You know, Notepad was the preferred one. So, and VBScripts have been dead for a while. I think they were just sort of waiting for the large enterprise to get their Office scripting moved to more modern platforms. And, you know, because all that scripting sort of moved into apps now and add-ins rather than direct scripts. So yeah, it was just I looked at it as sort of a cleanup of legacy stuff, really.
Yeah, a lot of unused features for sure. And there's so many features anyway.
Microsoft always says that if they ask their customers what features they want, most of the features they want already exist. They just don't know that they're there. So that's always Microsoft's challenge, is there's so much people don't know.
Here's a funny question, Amy. What do you think the average end user, okay, the average end user, what percentage of the overall suite or stack of all the features and functionality in Microsoft do you think they use?
I've seen those numbers. I think it's something like 20%, but it's different for everybody. Right. That 20% isn't the same 20% for every person. And that's why we have this huge breadth of features and stuff. But yeah, you know, it's the Microsoft is you know, it's their goal, and they're good at being everything to everybody. So if you need the feature, it's there and it's important to you. And the next person is like, I didn't even know it was there and I don't care.
Right. I think well, that stat makes sense. I would have guessed between, 10 and 20, but that makes sense. So awesome. So did you see the news? Google's looking to purchase HubSpot.
I didn't see that news. So I'm interested to hear what you know about that. Obviously, I know the name's Google and I know the name's HubSpot, but I don't really understand why there's such a hubbub about them becoming one.
Yeah, most of the chatter I read was that they feel like those are two big entities that would make unfair competition for Google, and they're thinking of a lot of the chatter was all about the regulators blocking it. So they feel that's an uphill battle. I don't know if that will ever go through or not, but you HubSpot users out there, hopefully it won't affect what happens if it does go through. But, that was something, that headline that caught my eye for sure. So we'll see how that kind of plays out.
HubSpot is really popular with small business because it's tightly integrated in with WordPress. So, most of the websites are WordPress in the small business world. So,
More and more of my customers are all using HubSpot, as their go-to, marketing platform, CRM.
HubSpot does a really great job at making it simple. So that's, I think, what's appealing. Yeah. So we got another news item, and this one kind of tickled me. And then I thought about it and I was like, maybe they're right. The question is, do we need another military component, right? We had a new one a few years ago, right? The Space Force. Haven't heard much from Space Force recently, but I'm sure they're still out there.
Yeah.
Now there's a call for a Cyber Force. And this one's a little bit different. We'll share the article with you. The call for Cyber Force is the idea that there is such a lack of sharing of information between the military branches, and that this is actually a problem for cybersecurity. As I was thinking about it, I thought, well, it seems like there's probably a lot of duplication and waste in there as well. So if we did consolidate them into a single entity, maybe that would be a smart thing to do, and we may be better protected for it. So I'll share that article with you guys. We've got the links to these things in the show notes so that you can read them for yourself. I'd be interested in what people think about the idea of consolidating cybersecurity into its own branch of military. When I mentioned that to somebody, they said, well, but wait a minute, don't all the branches fly planes? I'm like, yeah, they do. But I mean, maybe that's a good point too. Why don't we have just the Air Force fly planes, right?
Right.
I'm sure they could manage to learn how to do missions for the different branches of the military. But anyway, I've not been in the military, so I'm definitely not an expert in this area, but I do think we need to be efficient, and the communication between the various branches of the military is famously inefficient and secretive. And I can definitely see where that would hurt the cybersecurity.
Yeah, I think we would want more collaboration, right?
Oh, it's cyber moves so fast. It's going to be moving at a different rate of speed than pretty much anything else the military does.
Yeah.
So it does seem like a bit of a different animal to me.
Well, yeah, a lot of things going on in the world, and again, most exciting, we're all still here after the eclipse.
We made it yet again past the apocalypse predictions. So it's getting to be like every time I see the prediction of an apocalypse, I'm like, well, good. At least I know I'm going to be living to the day after that, because I always do.
Yeah, we always do.
All right, James, great talking to you today. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in, and we will see you again next week.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Today's SMB Community Podcast is brought to you by Huntress Managed Security. Cybersecurity isn't just about software, it's about expertise. In today's ever-evolving threat landscape, you need more than lines of code. You need human intelligence to outwit cyber criminals. Huntress is tailor-made to provide human expertise. Our team of seasoned professionals has your back, ensuring your assets stay safe. With 24/7 vigilance, our human-led SOC never sleeps. We monitor, investigate, and respond around the clock. While you focus on growing your business, we provide first response to hackers. Start your trial now at huntress.com/carl.